Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Dylan Robertson. He is the co-founder of New Earth Solutions. Hi, Dylan. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm well, Salman. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and I'm excited to share our message.
Absolutely. I'm excited for this particular interview and learning more about the particular work that you do. But first, I want to start by talking about your background. Can you share your professional and personal background?
Yeah, most definitely. So New Earth Solutions has been in business for 3 years, and it all started actually 5 years ago when my co-founder and I started knocking doors, selling smart home technology and security on the west coast of Canada. And, you know, we were jobless after school, and there was this opportunity that would take anybody at the time, because it was such a difficult job. They just wanted as many people to come out as possible because they knew so many would end up quitting. And it was a four-month season where we were knocking doors in Alberta and BC, selling security and smart home technology for a company called Fluent Home. And that was the first experience that Mitch and I, my co-founder, had together working in business. And we both excelled extremely quickly at the job. And after 1 year, they asked us to both come back and manage sales reps and other teams of sales reps within the company. So Mitchell actually decided to not take up the offer, and he went off to pursue his passion in real estate and sustainability, and ended up selling solar panels, LED lighting, and energy audits across Ontario. And myself, I chose to recruit teams of between 14 and 27 people and ultimately train and lead these sales teams across Alberta selling door-to-door these smart home systems. And as I entered my third year of the job, Mitchell had heard what kind of success myself and the team were having at West. And he was hungry at the time to start a business. And my focus was out West selling these systems and leading our team. And he came out to visit me. And at the time, I had broken quite a few records personally with the company. And that wasn't why he came out, though. It was to see how we cultivated this culture that our team had. You know, the Kaizen team, which stands for constant improvement in Japanese, was this tight-knit group of individuals that really cared about each other and just pushed each other to this next level as salespeople. And Mitch, wanting to start a company, was trying to understand how to create that culture. So he joined me out West, and he saw how we were doing it and what I was doing. And at the end of his trip, he just posed a really simple question to me. And it was very profound, but at the time, it didn't seem all that powerful. And it was, you know, you've accomplished everything you've come out to accomplish while doing this job. Is there anything left for you here? And when he asked me that question, it forced me to think about why I was doing this job. And at that point, it was something that I was just really good at and very comfortable in. And I knew that it was going to get me, you know, a nice paycheck, and I was going to be able to spend time with friends that I'd built relationships with over a three or four year period. But when he asked me that, I said, you know, give me some time to think about it. And ultimately, I came back to Ontario that year and I said, what do you have in mind? And he posed the thought of starting a business together and focusing on retrofitting real estate buildings to make them more sustainable. So off New Earth Solutions went. That's when our business started, and we incorporated it and started selling everything that you can think of under the sun that helps to improve the sustainability of buildings, whether that be solar, HVAC equipment, lighting, energy audits, living walls, living roofs. We were just selling everything we could get our hands on because that's all we knew. That's where we picked up our bumps and bruises and in the sales industry, and that's what we wanted to do. And after about 3 or 4 months of that, we realized that we were becoming masters of nothing. We were just selling whatever we could get our hands on. We weren't generating too much revenue, and we needed to narrow our focus, so to speak. And so we assessed the product offerings that we had, and we thought that when we looked into it, the most opportunity that was left and the most growth that we could achieve was through the living wall industry. And the reason we thought that was because in Europe, the living wall industry was booming and architecture was well more advanced in terms of sustainability than North America. And so following that trend to North America, it was a relatively new market, and we felt like we could improve the technology both in the utility function of the system, along with the price point and the ongoing maintenance of the living well system. So I always say the best way to start a business and really take it seriously and take it from a hobby to an actual job is to put your money into it. And Mitch and I sunk some money into buying a 20-foot container of material. And we were then forced to grow our business and sell. We had no other choice. It was either sink or swim at the time. And we just took off on a rampage, a crazy pace. And we sold 17 living wells in our first 12 months while focusing on living wells specifically as our product offering. And we realized exactly what we thought we realized, which was there was a huge demand for this sort of thing. And we were the ones to supply it across Ontario. So we continued down that path, all while investing our money back into the business and trying to research and discover ways of improving the innovations of the living well industry. And then COVID hit. And this was a pivotal time for many businesses. And we had a successful business at that point. We were profitable in year one and two. But when COVID hit, we didn't want to sit around and wait to see what the commercial businesses or the commercial buildings started to do. We didn't want to wait to see if people were going to return to the offices. And that's where most of our business was taking place. So we went back to the drawing board and we just recalled on a few questions that customers have always asked us, which was, how can I get one of these in my home? And primarily the living walls we were selling were commercial because of the huge costs associated with the living wall, as well as the ongoing maintenance, as I previously mentioned. And when we asked ourselves that question, we revisited that question. We assessed whether or not we thought we could make this a product that was viable for the residential consumer. And we believed we could. And that's when Respira was born. And that's our first company. So New Earth Solutions is our holding company. And then Respira is the first company that we've developed and built within New Earth Solutions. And that's where the idea for the air purifying garden that takes care of itself stemmed from.
Mm-hmm. So when did you launch this company? What year was this?
Respira is 11 months old now. And New Earth Solutions we launched in 2018.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain the concept of a living wall? What is a living wall and how it works? And I believe you also mentioned something for air purification, self-sustaining. So if you can explain those concepts.
Yeah. So a living wall, there's two different types of living walls. There's geoponic, which means that the living wall is planted with soil. And then there's hydroponic, which is a living wall without soil and just consistently running water through it to feed the plants the nutrients and water it requires. Living walls are exactly what they sound like. They're plants on a wall. So if you think of a living roof, it's the exact same thing, but typically in an interior space in North America, at least. And it's just a vegetated wall with different types of tropical plants and flowers that you can place for aesthetic purposes. So the first system we started to sell was a geoponic living wall system, which essentially was a soil-based system that we would install and hook onto walls with different living well infrastructure. And what people were paying for was an increase in vegetation and life within their space, as well as that aesthetic wow factor for their building. And while we were building it, we were consistently keeping our ear to the ground for innovations, as I mentioned. And one of the innovations and research that we discovered was how plants actually clean the air. And we became fixated on this because we also understood that there was a huge problem with air quality, specifically indoors. With our buildings becoming more airtight than ever, that air that we need to displace and with fresh air is consistently rising in price because of, you know, living in Canada, we have to treat that air. We have to make it more humid in the winter when it's freezing cold, or we have to change the temperature so that it's comfortable for people to experience indoors. And so as we assessed this issue of indoor air quality, we realized that we could create a payback period on these systems by decreasing the amount of energy it took to purify the air in our buildings. And it was also an additional function to the living well, which increased the value of people putting it in there inside their spaces. And the research we tapped into was from the University of Guelph, which is where we're local to. And so we began to investigate that research. And as I mentioned, as we sold Living Wells in our first and second years, we started to invest money into developing our own living wall biofilter. So the science of biofiltration is purifying the air or a water stream using a biologically active zone. And on a plant, that's the root zone. So what we do is we pull air actively into the root zone of the plants, and we remove toxins, chemicals, and different volatile organic compounds when they come into contact with the root zone before dispersing that air back into your space for you to breathe. So that was the biggest breakthrough we had was, you know, plants aren't purifying the air when they're planted in soil. So how do we expose the root zone to the air? And we do so by changing our system into a hydroponic system. And that's the development that started to create this new company, which was Respira. And it's no longer a living well, it's a living well biofilter, which actively purifies the air in your space.
That is a really amazing concept, that living well and also a natural air purifier. So that's amazing. Yeah. Now, you mentioned that there is a lot of demand for this. So can you talk about how much demand there is in the residential market and in the commercial market?
For sure. So in the residential market, the demand really started to take place when COVID hit. There's no other product. I think, you know, I need to preface this by saying that there's no other product like ours in the market right now for residential natural air purification. So we really needed to find out for ourselves what kind of demand there was, because we couldn't assess the market initially and go, okay, yeah, there's this many people in the market and this is the volume of revenue that's generated in the market and we can take this percentage of that market. So what we really started to do was trailblaze and discover for ourselves what kind of demand was in the market. And the way we began that was by first assessing the houseplant trend. So as everyone started to work from home and spend more time at home, they began to invest in tropical plants that they could pot around their house and add life to their space. And spending time indoors, they wanted to feel that connection with nature. And, you know, in California, of course, spending time indoors, you can see nature everywhere and you can get outside and experience nature. But in Canada, which is where the idea stemmed from, people were restricted from heading out of their homes. And when they were able to head out of their homes, it was the dead of winter. And it was barren. So adding life to your space through the house plants that people were buying was one trend that we focused on and realized that a lot of people would want to add plants into their space. The second thing we looked at was the air purifier market. And with all these claims surrounding COVID-19 being an airborne virus and people spending more time indoors, there was an inclination for people to start purchasing air purifiers. And with our system being a natural air purifier, we were able to assess that trend and say, okay, there's an increase in purchases here. So we feel there's an opportunity to combine the two together, that houseplant trend and the air purifier trend, and create our own little niche in that market with our living well biofilter. So that's where we saw the demand stemming from in the residential market. For the commercial market, it's very similar, but there's an added piece of that demand that I didn't speak about. And it's with our cities growing, nature is being pushed away from us further and further. And especially if you look at downtown Toronto, for example, all these people living in condos or working in buildings, you look for as far as the eye can see and all you're seeing are other gray, monstrous buildings. There's no softness of nature or that green touch that we're always craving and innately desiring. And so what architects are discovering and developers are discovering and people that, you know, manage properties are discovering is that you can increase the mood of people working in your spaces or living in your spaces. You can increase productivity. You can increase creativity and just create a better overall environment by bringing some of that nature back into our built environment, so to speak. And so the demand for these living walls is stemming from the fact that we've now built these massive cities that have no connection to nature. And we're trying to reverse that trend by now incorporating nature back into our living and working environments.
That's pretty amazing. So in terms of like the filter that you mentioned, what kind of contaminants or is it removing from the air? Is it, I'm guessing plants obviously take CO2 and produce oxygen, but in terms of filtration, are you removing any contaminants from the air?
Yeah, so this is a great question, Solomon. We're actually, we based the research and the design off of the product off of previous research that was done at the University of Guelph. And, you know, there's other studies that have showed this in Australia as well as the US. And so that's where we started. And as we developed our product, we realized we would need to run our own research test. And that's when we signed up for a lab test and lab research with Ryerson University. So currently and ongoing, we're doing our own research study with Ryerson. And what we're studying right now is the effectiveness of removal rates from our system of common air contaminants found in buildings and other homes. So what we've done so far is we're at the preliminary stages of our research test, and underline the fact that it's preliminary because none of this is fully conclusive. The research study still has 6 weeks to go. But what we have discovered off the preliminary studies is the two volatile organic compounds that we have explored, benzene and toluene, which are your two specific chemicals in the air that you're referring to, we have a removal efficiency of 97% in under 7 hours. So we're able to remove both benzene and toluene from the air in 7 hours or less using our living well biofilter. Those tests are going to continue to go forward, and we have another 6 weeks of testing. But it's not a conclusive research study that's been completed yet. So that in combination with the studies that have been proven in Australia, the United States, and here at home in Guelph, we suspect that the results are going to be very similar, if not better, due to the fact that we've advanced the technology so much further forward.
Mm-hmm. So how does this filtration happen? Is it the leaves which extract this from the air and convert it into oxygen? Is it like the photosynthesis process?
Yeah, it's a great question. So if you can imagine the actual respiratory unit, at the top of the unit, we have a opening to pull the air into the actual root zone. And before the air gets to the root zone, there's a pre-filter at the top of the unit. And this pre-filter is completely washable, and it's never going to be disposed of in any sort of landfill. It's washable. You wash it every 6 months, and it can be reused over and over again. And this pre-filter is what removes what we can see in the air, is what we say. So dust bunnies, particulate matter, particles that you would be able to see that you don't want to be breathing on a regular basis. Once that air has been pulled through the pre-filter and we've removed everything we can see, the air then travels into the body of the unit, where we have the root zones of the plants fully exposed to the air. And so we pull that air into the root zone through two onboard fans. And once the air reaches the root zone, that's where we're removing what you can't see in the air. So that's volatile organic compounds like formaldehyde, benzene, toluene, like I mentioned. And that in itself is where the magic happens, so to speak. So any gases, any smells, any viruses that we can't see again, we're removing in that space before pushing the air back through the plants, through the leaves, and back into the space for you to breathe. So it's not the leaves that are cleaning the air. It's actually the root zone of the plant that's cleaning the air.
Mm-hmm. So you actually have like a physical unit, physical filter attached to the living wall, which helps clean the air.
Yeah, so that's the first, it's a two-step filtration process, right? Anything that we can see gets removed by the pre-filter. And the reason we did that is because we didn't want any dust or large particles getting stuck in the fans that were pulling the air through. So prior to the air passing through the fans in the root zone, we removed the larger particles that you could see in your home before the gases and the smells and everything like that you can't see is removed from the root zone of the plants. So the first filter is a pre-filter. And then the second filter is the natural root zone that we use as a filter to clean the air.
Mm-hmm. Now, another question I have is like at nighttime, plants actually produce carbon dioxide, if I'm not mistaken. So is it healthy to have a living wall in your house during nighttime hours?
Yeah, that's a common question we get. And during the respiration, like during the night and the respiration that takes place, plants do emit CO2, but it's not enough to actually cause any health issues for someone that's sleeping in the room with a respiratory unit or a plant in their bedroom. The reason that this is okay is because during the daytime when the sun comes up, the reverse effect actually happens through the process of photosynthesis. So when the cells of the plant open back up, it's then releasing oxygen rather than CO2, and that actually offsets itself. So there is no issue with having one of these in your bedroom. In fact, my parents, my sister, and myself all have units placed in the bedroom to improve sleep quality. Because at the end of the day, the plants are actually pure. The actual unit and the plants themselves are purifying the air, which in doing so can actually improve your sleep quality. So we do recommend, you know, putting this in your bedroom. And with the white noise coming from the trickling of water, it actually adds a very soothing effect to the bedroom that can, you know, for people that enjoy white noise to when they head off to bed, can actually be quite relaxing and really helpful in aiding in that sleep process.
Yeah, like, you know, having some kind of nature noise in your house is can be a soothing experience.
That's all part of it, right? Like, visually, we've designed the system with the principles of biophilic design, which is designing with nature and natural processes. So what that means is we're connecting people with the feel and the look of vegetation and nature through the plants. And we're also tapping into the auditory sense of nature through the sound of trickling water, like you'd hear in the forest when you're next to a creek or a stream, right? It's all part of the experience that Respira provides. So we don't look at Respira so much as an air filter or a product. We actually see it as a lifestyle that allows people to connect with nature and their natural roots.
Mm-hmm. And it's true that at nighttime plants don't produce any oxygen. It's only CO2 they produce, right? Or is it like a mix of both?
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
So at nighttime plants mostly produce CO2, or they produce a bit of CO2 and oxygen?
A bit of both. It offsets, though. The plants produce carbon dioxide, but they also produce oxygen in the morning and when the sun rises through photosynthesis. So those two processes offset each other, and that's what enables it to be safe for you to sleep with plants in your house.
Uh-huh. So where exactly in your homes are people installing this in their living room, bedroom? I guess you mentioned some people are putting it in their bedrooms, but which is the common spot where people like to have nature in your house?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like I mentioned, you know, my family's put it in their bedrooms and they've had early access to the units. The units will not be available and landing in North America or Europe until June. So right now we're just working with a few prototypes, but what we have seen is people asking, you know, where should we put this? And many people have commented putting it in an area where your family congregates. So like a living room where everyone can enjoy the beauty of it.
Yeah.
A lot of people really like the aesthetic design of the system in itself. Like I mentioned, I put it in the bedroom to improve air quality and sleep quality for myself. But we've also seen people asking about putting it in the kitchen, because you can also grow herbs in the unit and that can be useful for in the kitchen when you're cooking. So along with that in the kitchen, it'll also help remove the smells of, you know, the bacon in the morning or some sort of fish that you're cooking in the evening for dinner. It can help break down those smells and produce more of a fresh feel inside your kitchen once you're done cooking. So yeah, to answer your question, I guess holistically, it's either the bedroom, the kitchen, or an area where your family and friends would spend a lot of time. It's a bit of a wow factor in your home as well. So in condos, it's typically installed inside of a lobby where everyone will be able to experience it when they come into the building. And so I can imagine a lot of people will also install it in a foyer of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Are these living walls difficult to maintain for someone who is not a gardener, who wants to keep things low maintenance? Is it difficult to maintain?
Well, that was one of the biggest challenges that we had to overcome was the maintenance of plants. You know, I'm not the best plant parent myself. And a lot of people don't believe they have what it takes in terms of a green thumb to care for plants. And we wanted to make this something that everyone could enjoy. And that really resulted in us investing a lot of time and resources into the technology that we've embedded into the system. So we've got a series of sensors that monitor not only air quality, but also plant health, which is the key for the maintenance. So that could be everything from, you know, a TDS sensor that monitors the nutrient requirements in the entire system. It could be a light sensor, just ensuring that the plants get enough light. And it could be a water sensor, just ensuring that the water levels are high enough in the actual respira unit in itself to ensure that they're receiving enough water. So we've embedded a lot of technology into the system to ensure that maintenance is very low, and that even if you make a mistake, the system will be able to alert you to it so that you can actually make some precautionary adjustments to ensure that the plants are healthy. We see the biggest concerns with plants being the lack of lighting and overwatering. And so we've overcome that challenge through one of the accessories being a light accessory. If you don't have enough light in your space, then we highly suggest getting the LED grow light so that you can have that supplemental lighting and ensure that plants are receiving enough light. And then finally, the watering challenge, you're just filling up a basin. So at the bottom one third of the unit, you see that there's a white section there, and that's what you're filling up with water. And it holds 4 gallons of water, which will only require you, depending on your space, to refill it every 10 to 15 days. And built into that water basin, there's a float. So when you're filling the water basin up, that float will eventually close once it's received enough water, indicating that, you know, your plants are good and you don't need to water the plants anymore. So all of these precautions that we've designed and put into place are really going to help with that maintenance and the ongoing care of plants. And hopefully we can allow people to have a little bit more confidence when taking care of their plants.
Mm-hmm. So you actually have sensors in the plants and in the soil, so people can get data about the health of the plant.
Yeah, that's correct. We've got sensors in the basin that allow you to receive a notification on your phone indicating that you need to refill the basin with water so that the pump doesn't run dry. We've also got water flow sensors to alert you to any blockages in the irrigation. We've got humidity sensors, VOC sensors for air quality. We've got temperature sensors to allow you to know what the temperature in your space is, and light sensors to ensure that, you know, the system has enough light and that you're going to be able to give the plants enough light.
Wow. So I'm guessing you also have an app which provides the data to the user.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, the app in itself can be downloadable on, it's a web app actually. So it's accessible through Android and iOS. And we're working towards creating a mobile app as well that you're going to be able to download onto either system as well, and monitor your plant health and air quality on the go or when you're out of the house, as well as set different schedules such as lighting schedules and watering schedules when you're traveling. So you never have to worry about having one of your friends come over and babysit your plants, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So plants also happen to grow. So would the consumers have to regularly cut the leaves or the branches to make sure that it doesn't grow too much? I'm guessing some kind of trimming is required.
Yeah, we're going to be offering a stretch goal on our Kickstarter campaign where we can hit a certain level and then actually offer a Japanese pruning kit for each customer of Respira's. And that'll enable you to trim the wall back. But it's also up to the customer. Some people like their wall to look wild. Some people like it to be nice and trim and proper. And that's entirely up to each individual. We're going to have a list of resources that allow people to learn and educate them on how to take care of plants in terms of pruning, pinching, and trimming the plants away. You know, from there, it's really up to the customer as to how much effort or what kind of visual appeal they want the wall to look like. One thing we had to be conscious of was, you know, if the plants at the top of the unit are receiving more light, they're going to grow faster than the plants at the bottom of the unit. And then eventually the bottom plants will never receive any light, especially with the LED arm. So what we did was we designed that and made it actually extendable so that it can extend out further to reach the bottom parts of the unit and allow for even growth across the entire system frame.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely a good idea to have a kind of kit which people can use to maintain their living walls, because they obviously would require some kind of maintenance. Even if people like wild designs, they might probably need some kind of trimming. So just to make sure that it doesn't take too much space or, you know, grows too much and, you know. So it's definitely a good idea to have kits, as you mentioned, and also resources where people can, to help people learn how to maintain their living walls. So you mentioned that this is right now in a prototyping phase. So right now you're not actually selling this. It's not fully developed.
Correct. It's about 98% there. There's a few, we're at the design stage right now. And mind you, I'm not one of the designers on the team, but I hear from them often. And Mitchell, Ben, our mechanical engineer, and Tristan, our industrial designer, are hard at work creating the final pieces to the system. And, you know, as it stands right now, the prototype is pretty much finished. But like I said, there's about 1% or 2% left to actually complete. And it might not be noticeable to the actual consumer, but to the design team, these are absolutely critical things to ensure that this is a seamless and flawless experience for each individual that uses Respira. So we're nearly there. We've started production. On January 6th, we launched production, and we're having our manufacturing molds created right now. And we're going to be doing an inventory run at the end of January, early February. So right now, actually, to start getting some units here. And then in April, between the 10th and 15th, we should receive 10 new units. And these are our final production run units to allow us to ensure that everything is properly done and to certain tolerances in China where we're manufacturing. And then from there, we're going to be able to do our first run of inventory. So we suspect that product is actually going to arrive in Guelph in the month of June.
Mm-hmm. So will this be manufactured in Canada?
We explored Canadian manufacturing. We explored American manufacturing. We explored Vietnamese and Mexican manufacturing. And we also explored Chinese manufacturing. And I know there's a lot of stigma surrounding like Chinese manufacturing, but our experience with them has just been exceptional. They've been clearly communicating to us on a very timely basis. There's such a large hour difference between the two countries, and they're willing to stay up and wake up early for us. They've communicated every single step of the way to make sure that we were comfortable with them. Uh-huh. And ultimately it came down to who's going to be able to support us long-term as a business. And the Chinese manufacturing group that we've gone with has gone above and beyond and exceptional. And, you know, the negotiations went really well with them. And we felt we had the best relationship with them in terms of communication and quality compared to every single other manufacturer, which is surprising. You know, we wanted to keep our manufacturing as local as possible, but we just didn't receive the care from larger manufacturers. And I think it ultimately came down to the size of our business and mm-hmm. them not understanding that what we wanted to do was grow. And, you know, the Chinese manufacturer in Shanghai really did understand that and made it work for us. And for that, we were very grateful. And our business is very strong in relationships. We mm-hmm. That's the ultimate thing for us, is we care about who we work with and we want to see everyone win. And we felt that the manufacturer that we selected was also on the same page with that. And therefore, we ended up selecting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess there is no doubt that, you know, China definitely has a certain expertise and know-how when it comes to manufacturing. And they've been doing this for a long time, and they really specialize in that area and they excel in that area. And it's not always easy to get that same level of know-how and expertise locally, even if you want to. And they've really mastered the space. So you obviously want to have a product which is, you know, good for your consumers. You want to provide the best possible product, so you have to make the, you know, it's you have to look at multiple things and make a decision, and you explored multiple options. Like you did your research, you did your homework and you went through the decision that was best for the business or for the consumer. So, and I think it will show when you have an excellent product for the consumer. It will show all those good decisions will definitely reflect in the value that the consumers receive.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, if I do say so, like some of the highest quality products are manufactured in China, and one of them is the iPhone. And so a lot of people forget that. I know Mitch has spent countless hours communicating with our Chinese manufacturing group, and we've been on Skype with them countless times. We've even sent a liaison over to the Chinese manufacturing site to explore the actual facility and just ensure that it was up to code in terms of safety and quality. And they passed with flying colors. So we're excited to be in partnership with them. And hopefully down the line, a Canadian manufacturer close to home will be open to working with us. And maybe we can produce a second mold and have two manufacturers, one in Canada, one in China. It's always good to be able to split your manufacturing up. And yeah, we look forward to that.
So have any commercial clients tried this product? And what kind of feedback have you received from people who have tried the living wall and the filtration?
Yeah, well, we ran an influencer campaign. And, you know, each of the people that received a unit, right when they first received the unit, they're blown away by the actual stature and size of the unit. So it's 3 feet tall by 1.5 feet wide and 7 inches in depth, roughly. And what people didn't realize when they saw it online was how solid this thing looks. Not only does it have this very sleek and clean and crisp design, but the actual stability of the system, it is very well engineered. And it's clear to everyone that uses it that it was really well thought out in the design iterations. So the first thing we always get is, wow, that looks way better than I thought it did in person. People are just blown away in person. The second thing people are wowed by is the fact that there's no soil in the plant and the actual unit. It's hydroponic. So when I'm explaining to them the air purification ability of the plant and how it stems from the root zone, people then go and check out the root zone. They realize there's no soil in the system. And that's another shock to them, because there's an inclination for people to believe, and some misinformation, if I do say so myself, that plant leaves are what clean the air. And when they realize that it's actually the roots, they're excited to share that with everyone and tell everyone. So I think that's a really novel aspect of our product. Uh-huh. And then the other two things that people really love are the sustainability of the system. So we remove every Respirasol removes disposable air filters that you would typically use in an air purifier. Our filters are either natural and organic with plants, or they're completely reusable and washable, like the pre-filter. And so they really love the idea of the sustainability behind the system. And then finally, the technology. We have a 5-inch LCD screen integrated into the entire unit. So you can control the unit right off the screen itself, or you can also control the unit and set schedules on an app. So to be able to see and witness that in person, that intersection of science and technology, or nature and technology, is really a wow factor for a lot of people. And seeing that liveliness inside the home is very novel and original, and it's not something people typically see. And this is a product that hasn't been developed before. It's the first time that this innovation has come to life in the residential market. And so it's even when I'm carrying it to someone, I usually walk down the street with it. I bring it in my truck. I walk down the street with it to the person's house or their condo, and I'm getting tons of heads turning as I walk down the street. And it's not because of me, it's because the unit is just so exceptionally different. And people have to take a double look at it and go, what is that? What is that piece of technology? And so, yeah, we've been getting a lot of great feedback, and people are just blown away by how we've been able to compose and integrate all of this together into one parceled package.
Mm-hmm. In terms of pricing, like if somebody wants to have a living wall in the living room, what kind of purchase price and operational costs are they looking at?
So you, for a custom living wall in your house, you'd be looking at it about $150 to $300 per square foot. And then you'd have the ongoing costs of maintenance and replacing the plants over the lifetime of the actual project itself. With our system, you can get the unit for $799.99 MSRP. And currently we're selling it on Kickstarter, depending on the tier that you pledge to, between $551 and $744 for the entire unit itself. So again, the price varies depending on what plants you put in the unit and what accessories you also include with your unit, but that's the range of what you'd be paying for. And then ongoing, all you need to replace are the nutrients in the system itself every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, Dylan, it has been very nice speaking with you and learning about yourself and also about your amazing product. It seems like it's a very timely product to have the idea of having more and more nature in your house as people spend more time inside. It's a very timely product. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show and talking about your story and your product.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Salman. And I'm really excited to be able to share this at this time. It's a huge opportunity for us. And, you know, with launching the product, we know that Guelph's a very supportive community. So to be able to share my message and our company message through your medium is something I'm very grateful for. So thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And would you like to share your website and your crowdfunding page?
Yes, definitely. So if you go to the Kickstarter website, you can find us at Respira, the air purifying garden that takes care of itself. And then our website is respira.ca.
All right, perfect. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you get a chance to learn about this amazing product, which helps you add nature to your home and give a new feel and vibe to your home. And definitely visit to the website to learn more about the company and the product and see if this is a good fit for you to have more nature and plants in your home. Well, thank you so much for listening to Zonecast, and stay tuned for more episodes.